Morning, everybody. I'm Pastor Dwayne, and welcome to Encounter Life Church. I'm excited to have you join us on this Palm Sunday morning. Man, it's amazing. The time is flying. Here we are, Palm Sunday 2021. And look, if this is your first time joining us, whether in person or in this virtual universe or online, I'm so glad you're here today. Could you do us a favor? Give us a shout and just send us a text to 301-804-2520. And all you have to say is new. You just type the word new to 301-804-2520 just to shout us out. That'll let us know so we can connect with you. Or if you want to, you can go right on our website and indicate this is your first time in encountering Encounter Life. So you go to our website, which is encounterchurch.net/next. We have a virtual connection card that you can indicate that, listen, give us your name. Let us know that this is my first time here, and we're glad to have you join us. If you're watching us right now, YouTube, Facebook, wherever you're watching us, can you do us a favor? Man, I would love it if you would just like and share this broadcast. There's somebody who may need to hear what you're about to hear today. So if you would, just share it with somebody, we'd be honored to have you like our page and just follow along what's going on here at ELC, at Encounter Life Church. Man, we have been blessed from hearing from God's word. We've been talking about God's promises. And aren't we glad that we serve a God who is a promise-keeping God? And you can stand on his promises today. Today, in the midst of this world, we are bombarded with all kinds of problems. I don't know what you're going through in your life right now, but all of us have problems. We have issues. And in the climate in which we're in, it could seem magnified. And what God wants us to do, instead of magnifying our problems, we need to magnify and extol our God and recognize how big and how awesome he is and how much greater he is than our problems. And what better way to do that is it to focus on his promises. Focus on his promises and his past provision in your life. But in order for you to focus on God's promises, it requires us to know what those promises are. So over the past several weeks, we've been just trying to give you a handle on some of God's promises that you can have and just get a handle on and just kind of delve into to give you encouragement in your life. And I pray that they have been an encouragement to you. Our last week, we talked about God's promise to bear your burden. He promised to give you rest for your soul. And we pray that you find that rest, that you will find him to be that burden-bearing God. He said, come to me, all you who are labor and bearing heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. That's what he wants you to do. Respond to his call to come to him. Respond to his call to come to him. That's what we said last week. When you respond to his call, then you got to exchange your burdens for his yoke. Yep. Exchange your burdens for his yoke. Then you got to submit to his leading in your life. And T, he'll transform your perspective. We talked about how you can have rest. And we pray that you experience him as that burden-bearing God and a God that can bear your burdens. Today, we're going to look at another one of his promises in his word as we are here on this Palm Sunday. But before we do that, would you just join me in a time of prayer? Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. And we, God, praise you because your word is true. And God, I'm grateful that Lord, I know me as a father and as a husband. Sometimes I make promises, Lord, and I'm be honest, Father, sometimes I don't keep them. God, I'm a man with a feet of clay, but I thank you, God, that you are God who keeps your promises, that, Lord, we can stand on your word. And not only your promises, Lord God, they're true, but they're also good. God, you promised to work all things out together for the good of those who love you and are called according to your purpose. Thank you that we serve a good God who loves us and cares for us. And so I pray that my brothers and sisters will be encouraged as, Lord, we stand on your promises. And God, as we look to you today on this Palm Sunday, Lord, as we look toward next week and as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, let it not be just something that we do once a year, but that we reflect on it on a daily basis because of the free, Lord God, because of the freedom that you have offered us and given us in Jesus Christ. We praise you and we honor you. I pray for somebody who's watching today that needs encouragement, that you'll encourage their heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Look, right now, before I get into the word, I also want to take a time to thank all of you who, you know, in this time where we haven't been able to gather, there's some of you out there who have continued to support what's been going on here at ELC, and I'm so thankful by your prayers, your prayer support, you're just attending online, maybe you being plugged into a virtual small group, and also by your liberal giving. I praise God for your giving that allows us to continue to get God's word out, to continue to touch the community and touch lives. So I'm so grateful for you, and I don't want to take it lightly. Right now, we are in our capital campaign. It's an unusual time, but we're still moving forward with our capital campaign. And if you'd like to support what's going on here at Encounter Life, by a one-time gift, or if you're a regular, above and beyond your tithes and offerings, you want to give to our capital campaign that will allow us to expand God's kingdom, be a branch that expands God's kingdom, you can give right on the website at encounterchurch.net/give. And indicate your gift will be going for our capital stewardship campaign. We would greatly appreciate it. And I'm telling you, we don't take it lightly. We thank you. Thank you so, so much for your support. This morning, we are looking at one more of God's promises on this Palm Sunday. And again, what better topic to talk about is God's promises as we head into Easter, right? You know, God promises, and next week we're going to be talking about his promise to give us life eternal. We're going to be looking at that promise of life that he gives us next week. But over the past several weeks, we looked at several of his promises. Last week, we looked at his promise to give you rest, to bear your burdens. We've looked at his promise to provide for you. We saw, to be a God who provides for your needs. We looked at his promise to guide and direct your steps. And we looked at his promise to love you unconditionally. Man, these are some great, amazing promises. But today, as we look at Palm Sunday, we're going to look at another promise that he's given us. That makes all of these promises possible. It's his promise to free me from sin. Aren't you glad of the promise of freedom? I'm glad for the promise of freedom from sin. We serve a God who has emancipated us, and he promises to set you free, and to set you free from sin. And that sets you free not just from sin in all of its aspects, and we're going to look at that this morning. You know, as I think about freedom, I thought about a movie that I really enjoyed to watch. Any of y'all Denzel Washington fans? And one of my favorite movies is Hurricane. Anybody ever watched that movie Hurricane? And in that movie Hurricane, the story of Reuben Hurricane Carter was a prize fighter who was convicted. He was arrested in 1966. He and a friend of his and charged with a triple homicide. And in 1967, he was convicted of that crime. And this brother, Reuben Hurricane Carter, eventually ended up spending almost 20 years in prison for a crime he did not commit. And man, I can imagine as I watched that movie and I saw the story of all that he went through while he was locked down for this crime and all the stuff he had to endure and the people that came alongside to try to help set him free. And when you saw when he was set free from that bondage and those chains that from the crime he didn't commit, you could see that weight that was lifted off of his shoulder. Can you imagine how that felt? But I'm here to tell you today, Reuben Hurricane Carter was... He was in chains. He was in bondage. He was incarcerated for a crime he didn't commit. But can I tell you today that all of us are born under the slavery of sin, and we are all guilty. See, it's one thing to be locked up for something you didn't do, but I'm here to tell you the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. All of us have sinned. And he also tells us that the wages of sin is death. So all of us are guilty and all of us are in bondage to that sin. And we're not like Reuben Carter. We can't say, man, I'm innocent. I didn't do it. We're guilty. But I'm here to tell you today that one of God's promises is he will set you free from sin. Man, that's an amazing promise because sin has some major consequences. And today, we're going to look at it. And if you're watching me today, you might be feeling burdened down. I want to let you know, I want to encourage you today, no matter what it is, he's freed you from sin. It doesn't matter what the sin is. There is not a crime. There is not a sin. There is not an indiscretion that you could commit that is too great for God to forgive. I'm so glad that we serve a God who loves you just like you are. We talked about his unconditional love. And now he said Jesus came to set you free from sin. The reason why we talk about that today on this Palm Sunday is because if you look in Matthew chapter 21, I just want to read this Matthew chapter 21, and I'm going to read verses 6 through 11. And he says, the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of them and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? And the crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Man, the people were excited because their Messiah had come, the one who was going to set them free. Today, we're talking about his promise to set you free. But I'm in the Bible right here in this passage in Matthew 21. These people, these children of Israel, were looking for somebody to set them free, but they were looking for somebody to set them free from their worldly situation. From the situation that they were in. See, they were in bondage and they were under Roman rule. And what they were looking was, they were looking for their champion. They were looking for their king. They were looking for their Messiah to set them free from their current situation. But I'm here to tell you today that Jesus didn't come just to set you free from your current situation. He came to set you free from the sin that is bounding you up right now today. And it doesn't matter what it is. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 verses 1 and 2. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. For the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you through Christ Jesus from the power of sin that leads to death. Today, if you're watching me, and you may have done something in your life that just seems like, man, it's terrible. How could God ever forgive me for what I've done? And I'm here to tell you, every sin, everything that you've ever done, Jesus Christ came to die on the cross to pay the penalty for it, and he wants to set you free, and he's the only one that can set you free from it today. And we're going to look at how you can experience freedom. Freedom from that weight, freedom from that burden, and from that bondage of sin in your life. God wants to set you free today, and we're going to use that word, F-R-E-E. Anybody want to be free? Anybody, look, if you already have experienced that freedom, if you're glad you're free, anybody glad you're free today? Why? Because that weight of guilt can be very heavy today. We talked about last week, we talked about burdens, and the week before that, we had Pastor Larry Page talked about sharing our burdens with one another. And some of us are weighed down with the burdens of our sins and of our own imperfection. And I'm here to tell you today, he's going to set you free. But you got to first understand that you're in bondage. You know, that some of us didn't even recognize you. We are born in bondage. We are born separated from God. Why? Because we serve a God who is perfect, he's holy, and he's without sin. The Bible said that God sits in inapproachable light. He sits in inapproachable light. He is light, and in him there is no darkness, no darkness at all. God is light, God is holy, God is perfect, and man is imperfect, full of sin. And God said, I love these people. Isn't that amazing? God said the perfect and holy and righteous and sinless God says, I love a sinful and fallible and messed up people, and I want a relationship with them. But there's a problem. We're in bondage to our sin, and they can't. It's like we're like oil and water, y'all. You and I and God are like oil and water. We cannot ever get with him because his nature is perfect. That's why he had to send one to be, listen, like that bar of soap. That bar of soap allows that oil and that water to mix. That's what Jesus is. He wants to set you free. But I'm going to tell you, you can't work for your freedom. See, you can't work for your freedom. Some of our ancestors and some of my ancestors who were in bondage to slavery for over 400 years in this country, they worked and they worked and they worked, and as long and hard as they could work, they could have never gotten their freedom until they were emancipated, until they had been set free. And I'm here to tell you, you can't work for your freedom. The first thing that you got to recognize, if you want to experience the freedom from sin that God offers you, it comes by faith and not by works. It comes by faith and not by works. Right here in the text, it says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Listen, it comes by faith. The no condemnation, the freedom comes by belonging to Christ Jesus. And how do I come to belong to Christ Jesus? Through faith. Through faith. The Bible in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 says, therefore, since we have been justified, justified, it means to be made right, to be just as if I had never sinned, to be justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. Listen, it's not a result of works. You look, the freedom in Christ, the freedom from sin, you cannot do enough good to set you free from sin. From that bondage of sin, you can try, man, you can sing in the choir, you can feed the poor, you can try to live right, you can try not to cuss nobody out, you can try to live a pure life. I'm going to tell you right now, you ain't going to do enough good to be good enough for God. If you're depending at the end of your life for the good to outweigh the bad, it just don't work that way. But you got to recognize that freedom comes by faith, but not by works. It's faith, not works. But you know what? It is a faith that works. It's faith, not works, but it is a faith that works. When I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and recognize that he's the one who sets me free, you know what? It leads me to live a holy life. I told you, God's promises have a way of sanctifying you. It's by faith, not works, but the faith does work. Faith without works is dead. See, the way my faith is demonstrated sometimes is how what I do. I'm here to tell you, if you want to be free, experience the freedom that God offers you, the freedom from your sin, it comes by faith. You got to come to recognize that Jesus Christ came to be the fulfillment for you. He came to pay your sin debt. Your sin debt, my sin debt. I got to put my faith and trust in the finished work of what Christ has done. See, the Bible, listen, can I lay the groundwork? Why was this so important? See, when they were looking in Matthew 21, when Jesus came, they were looking for somebody to set them free from their current situation that they were living in. And Jesus said, I got a bigger picture. You all are in worse shape than you recognize. You got to recognize that, listen, there is none righteous. We are all separated from God by our sin. Why? Because God said, listen, he created man in perfect harmony with him. But by one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin, though death passed on all of us. Adam made the decision. God gave him a free will. Adam made the decision to do his own thing. And guess what? Man, all of us are infected and affected by it. And in order for us to be set free, we got to put our faith and trust that Jesus Christ is the solution. What did God do? God established in Genesis, at the very beginning, that the only way that sin can be paid for, the only way sin can be covered, is there has to be bloodshed. For those of you, some of you, this is familiar for some of you, but for some of you are wondering, I just want to give a context so you can understand. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God and were separated by their sin, what God did, he shed the blood of an animal and took their skins and covered them. And that's why the Bible says without blood being shed, there could be no forgiveness, no remission of sin. The scriptures tell us that everything, Leviticus, everything is cleansed by blood. God established there in Genesis that the way sin will be atoned for is by blood sacrifice. Unblemished sacrifice. And so throughout scripture, there was lambs, there was rams. We talked about God, how God provided a ram for Abraham. These were all foreshadowings. These were all pictures. These were all examples of one that was going to come and ultimately be the sacrifice to take care of it all. But none of them were adequate until Jesus came. See, because it had to be one like you and I to die for us. And we had to put up, listen, so what God did, he became like us, lived like us, so he can identify with us. And he walked on this earth and he allowed human beings to abuse him. He allowed us to whip him and allowed us to shed his blood. And he hung on that cross and he died to pay the sacrifice for your sins and mine. That's why as he hung on that cross, he said, it is finished. What is finished? The work that he started, the work that he came to do, the work that he did to get you back, to set you and I free from the bondage of sin. And the only way you can be free, listen, you can't work for it. He said, I did the work already. The only way that you can be free from sin is by faith, not by works. Today, if you've been trying to work your way into heaven, stop it. You'll never get there. It's by faith. Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And when you put your faith and trust in what the finished work of what Christ has done on the cross, you know what? It's by faith, not works. But then what he will do are he will release you from sin's power, freedom. See, what is this freedom we have? He's freed us from sin, but the freedom comes by faith and not by works. And this freedom, what does this freedom entail? What does it do? It will be released from the power of sin in our lives. I don't know if some of you may not have flown lately because of the pandemic, but if you've ever stand beside a 747 on a runway and see how massive and how big the weight and size of that plane is, it makes it them incapable of breaking the holds of gravity. Gravity, the laws of gravity said what comes up must come what down. And you look at the weight and the size of a 747, and it baffles your mind how is something this big defy the laws of gravity. But what happens when the power of the engines combined with the laws of aerodynamics and the law of lift, what happens? That plane is able to lift 35,000 feet in the air. Have y'all ever been on a plane and said, we're now flying at 30,000 feet? This thing that weighs tons and is humongous now is flying, defying the laws of gravity and flying at about 600 or more miles an hour in the air. But has gravity gone anywhere? Nope. Gravity is still working. Gravity is still pulling on the plane. But as long as that plane obeys the laws of aerodynamics, as long as that plane obeys the laws of lift, it can break free from the bonds of earth and the pull of gravity. Listen, I want you to think of that classman, and I'm here to tell you, listen, you got an anchor, that precious Holy Spirit, when he's there pulling behind you, you don't have to depend on your own strength. Those kids couldn't do it on their own, but when there was somebody behind them stronger than they were able to overcome their adversary, and I'm here to tell you, there's somebody that is stronger than you, that is greater than you. On the inside, he's able to overcome. You got to relinquish your will and submit to his power in your life. Freedom comes by faith, not by works. But that freedom entails that releasing you from the power of sin in your life. Today, he wants to set you free. Whatever it is pulling on you. Stop trying to do it on your own. Accept his free gift by faith. And when you accept that gift by faith, his spirit comes to indwell you, and he will release you from the power of sin in your life. I'm here to tell you, you don't have to do it. Your flesh is going to tell you, you got to sin. Your flesh is going to tell you, you got to do whatever it is, that besetting sin that you have in your life, that you have to do it. But you got to know, no, I don't. He's been set free. That's what he says. He said, the law of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. Free. F. Freedom comes by faith. Faith, not works. R. That freedom, you've been freed. What does it mean? It releases you from the power. That freedom releases you from the power of sin in your life. E, what does it mean? That freedom, when you accept that freedom from sin, that freedom that Jesus Christ offers, that he promises, you know what you're able to do? E, escape the penalty of sin. To escape the penalty of sin. Man, I talked about Reuben Carter before and how he was wrongly accused. But let's just suppose that someone was accused of committing a heinous crime. Suppose somebody enters and they were accused of a crime that is unspeakable, a crime that was punishable by death. And he sat there, and the day before his trial came, this man is sitting in the courtroom, and the judge heard the man's confession. Matter of fact, the man says, I did it. I did the crime. I'm guilty. And the jury has determined that the crime is punishable by death. Could you imagine being in a courtroom where the judge looks down, and instead of punishing this man, instead of sentencing him to prison and sentencing him to death, could you imagine if the judge stepped off his seat and the judge said, I'll do it. I'll agree to take the penalty for his sin. You know, that's what Jesus Christ did for you. Power in your life. It does not have to have a hold on you anymore. No matter what the devil tells you, no matter what the enemy tells you, listen, God has come. Jesus has come to set you free. And his power that resides in you by his precious Holy Spirit is able to do it. He's able. The Bible says he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or imagine. See, before coming to Christ today, if you're watching me and you never come to get this freedom, you've never by faith come to accept Christ's work, finished work on the cross, and you're trying to stop some stuff in your own strength, willpower only lasts for a little while. You got to depend on something other than yourself, a little stronger than yourself. You could try to resist for a little while. It's amazing. I used to love using this illustration, and if I had it up here, I would do it today, but it's that tug of war. Anybody ever played tug of war before? And when you play tug of war, you know, you got somebody on the anchor and it's two teams and they're pulling that rope and you're trying to get that little string in the middle to go over the line. And the team that's got the strongest side wins. And I did this illustration with a group of high schoolers and middle schoolers one time. And I put all these little tiny kids on one side of the rope. And I put all the upperclassmen on the other side of the rope. And I said, we're going to play tug of war. And man, when we played tug of war, first of all, these upperclassmen, they just started pulling them all across the line. Like, it was no match. They were no match for the upperclassmen. But then what we did is we said, okay, we let the little kids stay here. And then we started getting some teachers and coaches and some grown folks on the other side. And guess what? That balance of power shifted. And so that pull was coming now got overcome. Why? Because at the anchor, there was an anchor behind those little kids, pulling behind them, that was way stronger than those up.